Okay, so this is the first time Terry's won out. I've always refused to use a headset thing because I like the microphone in my hand. So I don't have my security blanket today. So we'll see how I do with my hands. If I'm really awkward, you all know why now. Super excited to share with you guys what God has been doing in Pulse and in our life. I strongly believe that God has a message for all of us today because this week has been a horrific week. Every night there has been like drama and issues and struggles. Tony and I have not spent any time together this week. Sorry, Anna, Kate, and Marcus. We failed our marriage study this week. But we're excited because we know that when Satan fights hard, God has something big for us. So if we can turn the lights up. Grab your Bibles, hold tight. We're going to fly through some history, see what God did in the Old Testament, and how in the world does the Old Testament relate to our life today. The teenagers have held on for 3 months of going through the Old Testament. There have been some very rocky Wednesday nights that they have walked away going, I have no clue how that relates to my life. And there's been other nights where we've walked away going, yeah, let's do that. So hopefully this morning is the latter, not the first. Hopefully we'll all get it. Asa is going to bless us by reading the first chapter of Nehemiah. So I am strongly against preaching without our Bibles. So instead of just giving you the overview of what happens in Nehemiah, I want to kind of read little chunks of it so that way we can get a grasp of what happens and that way you guys know that it is fully biblical and not from my mouth, but from God's mouth. So, Asa 6, chapter 1.
Nehemiah's Prayer, chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 12th year, while I was in the Kitado of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are going and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you today and night. For your servants, the people of Israel, I myself and my father's family have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. There are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this, your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him a favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king.
Okay, thank you, Asa. Just go ahead and put it back. Okay, so Nehemiah, those of you who are part of Explore the Bible have an idea of where we're going today, but I promise you won't nail it on the head. So Nehemiah is this guy who's holding the cup for the king. He's in a powerful position. He asks his brother, what's going on back in Jerusalem? What's our fellow Jews doing? What are the Israelites doing? Nehemiah receives bad word. The walls are destroyed. The temple has been built. They rebuilt the temple. That's their place of worship. Back then in the Old Testament, it was very important to have a temple because they didn't have Jesus. So today we can meet with God wherever we go. Back then they needed the temple because God met with them in the temple. They didn't have direct access like Jesus Christ gave us direct access today. So So they had the temple, but the walls were destroyed. What does it mean not to have walls? We wonder, well, our city doesn't have a wall. Is it really that important? Who has any idea what it means to not have a wall for a city back in the Bible times?
No protection.
No protection?
Yeah, no city.
No what? No city. Why no city? What else? Yep. You guys can interact a little bit. I'll give you. Anybody? Okay, walls keep what's supposed to be there inside, right? And keeps other things outside. So that's part of the protection. It keeps people from coming in and robbing things. So though there was a temple, it probably was not decorated like it was supposed to be in order to glorify God. Why? Because robbers could come in the night, take everything away, and then flee. So the city had no protection. Also, when there's no walls, you're fully exposed. How many people want to live in a glass house? There's a reason we don't want to live in a glass house, right? We want protection and privacy. So the Israelites were called to rebuild their city in order to set themselves apart and to worship God. They needed to isolate themselves from the outside world and learn how to put their focus back on Jesus Christ. They were a people that were set apart in order to serve God. And this people had become distracted. They started to look at the things of the world. They started to do the things that looked good to their flesh and walk away from the God who had created them and had given them everything. They forgot the God that had rescued them from Egypt. They forgot the God that had rescued them from slavery. And they went right back into that slavery again because they took their eyes off Christ. So Nehemiah feels this call of, I've got to help my people. God is calling me to do something. So he says, King, this is chapter 2. He says, King, would you let me go? After the king asks him, you know, what's wrong, Nehemiah? You look depressed. What's going on? Nehemiah says, well, my city is destroyed. God is calling me to do something about it. And God totally provides, and the king releases Nehemiah to go back, rebuild the city, rebuild the walls. He gives them everything he needs, all of the supplies he needs to rebuild the walls, which is kind of crazy if you know the whole story, but we won't get into it. You guys can study on your own. He goes back home. He starts to rebuild. He gathers everyone together, and he goes, okay, guys, we're going to rebuild our city. Now, what happens when we start a project? Eventually, hard things happen, and we all get discouraged, and we all get sidetracked. Have any of you guys done anything like that? Tony and I, God bless Quentin and Linda's hearts, have been working on updating some of our house. Well, it has been quite the long process, and we have found out that sometimes when you spend less money on flooring, it is not worth it because it is garbage. So we've gone through quite a process, and we've been discouraged and frustrated, and our house is in shambles, and we have subflooring. And the whole time it's like, are we going to quit and walk away, or are we going to stand and we're going to continue building? Well, the Israelites went through the same thing. They started to build. Everything was good. They were excited. Nehemiah had come. King had supplied everything they needed. And then they start to get the peer pressure from the people around them. So if you jump, let's see. So chapter 3 talks about the breakdown of everybody who helps. Everyone is included. Everyone is called to come. Let's build your portion of the wall. So outside their houses, they all started building the portion of the wall that was in front of them. So they came together as a community to do this. And then we jump to chapter 4, and we'll read verse 1 and 2. Like I said, we are flying through the Old Testament. So in verse 4 it says, now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was very angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? So these Jews are working hard, and then they hear, you think you're going to rebuild the city? Do you think you have the strength, Elijah, to rebuild the wall? Do you see this rubble that has been burned? You guys are going to rebuild this wall. And what happens when we start hearing all the negative talk? We get discouraged, right? Have you ever wanted to give up? Thankfully, Quentin is smarter than both Tony and I. and more patience. And he helps us figure out, okay, well, this isn't working. What's the next step? Let's keep going. And he's helped us along. And we finally got our countertops almost done. Those will be done tomorrow. And then we got our floor. We just got to put in. But he's helped us along the way. No, it's not time to give up. We can keep going in this. Don't quit yet. And that's what here was happening. They were being told, you can't do this. And Nehemiah had to stand up and say, no, God has called us to do this. We're doing this. We're going forth. It's the same thing in our personal lives. We get discouraged in things. God calls us to do things. We get discouraged. We feel like we can't do it. We feel like quitting. And God says, no, keep going. So then in in chapter 4, we see the results of the effort that the Israelites put in. In verse 4, 15 through 16, it says, When our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plans, we all returned to the wall, each one to his work. Half of my servants worked on the construction, and half held up their spears and shields and bows and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. So half of them went to work. The other half stood guard. They said, no more of this. We're not dealing with this. We're putting a wall of protection around our workers, and we're protecting them as they do what God has called them to do. So half worked, half protected. Were the workers better than the protectors? Are you sure? Then why do the workers get all the glory? No, they were both needed, right? They needed the leadership, they needed the workers, and they needed the protectors. Without the protectors, the workers would have gotten killed. Without the leadership, the workers and the protectors wouldn't have known what to do. So they protected each other. They learned what it was to stand up against all the negativity and to go forth in the plan that God had given them. Then in chapter 6, you read verse 15 and 16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. In 52 days. How many days? 52 days. And this is without all the equipment we have today. They built their wall around the city. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. They stood up to do something that was absolutely impossible to mankind. Everyone around them knew that it was impossible. Nehemiah knew that God had called them. Nehemiah didn't doubt whether God had called him. He may have struggled and battled, but he didn't quit. He kept going. And because they kept going, God was honored and glorified in it. God's name went forth because they refused to quit. So what we've been talking about in youth ministry is, see, I get all excited, so then I lose complete. I have no idea where I am. What we've been talking about in youth group is that God has called us to build walls around each other. Those walls look very different than they looked back in the Bible times. We don't build walls of brick and stone around ourselves and keep ourselves in these little cities by ourselves. But God has called us to build walls around ourselves, of each other, of different people. Who are we going to let into our lives to be that wall? Is that wall going to protect us, or is that wall going to hurt us? I know oftentimes, you know, counselors and, I don't know, people always say, you know, don't build a wall. Make sure you let people in. But at the same time, we have to look at who we're letting into our lives. And then if we're building that wall, what is that wall made out of? So just like a flower, Tony and I have been gardening this year, too. It's been an interesting experience. Not all good. Somehow, half of our plants have died and half of them have survived. And I have no idea why. But when you garden, you take a little seed, right, and you put it in the dirt with all everything that it needs. Do you put it outside in the freezing cold right away? Apparently everybody does, because nobody's talking. See, I'm a youth leader. We got to fellowship here. No, we keep it inside, right, where it's warm and it's protected. And then as it starts to grow, if you have like a little tree, if it starts to grow and when you plant it outside, what do we normally do? We put, what, sticks around it, and we tie the tree up so it's stable. We put cages around it so the deer don't come and eat it. We do all of these things to protect this new life that is growing. Because new life is easily squashed. So as all of us are growing in God, what God is calling us to do is easily squashed. Any of these teenagers, you could look at Sam and say, Sam, you can't play the drums worth anything. Why the heck are you on stage? I guarantee you'll never see him on stage again. Guarantee it. He could do horrible. And if you go up and say, Sam, wow, that was so awesome. I'm so excited to see you up there. He'll go, yeah, I got this. I can do this. But as soon as you tell him no, you just squashed what God is doing in his life. One word, you took it out. Because as we start to step up in what God does in our life, it's messy. It's not perfect. We don't always do a good job at it. But we have that opportunity to pour into the person and to pour life into them or to tear them down. Youth group, you saw a bunch of videos of what we do in youth group. Some of it's totally crazy and seems like it has no point. Others of it, you can understand the purpose of it. The first video was from our missions trip, Dare to Share. Or not missions trip, sorry. Youth conference, Dare to Share, where the kids, we took 50 kids and taught them what it is to share their faith with other people. The second video was just random clips from a couple different Wednesday nights at youth group, just being silly, being fun, building relationships, learning what it is to live life together. We have a lot of kids in there, a lot that attend other churches, a lot that don't attend church at all, but all kids that God is working in their hearts. God has put something in each life and is desiring to grow that little flower that's in them. But we have the opportunity to encourage it or to squash it. So I'm going to invite Terry, I didn't ask permission, to come forward. And I'm going to invite all the little kids to come forward. And Terry can kill me afterwards. Okay, so let's come down here, all the kids. Come on, come on. You all get. I don't know if that is, but. No, Terry doesn't get a kid to be a kid. Everybody's got to get two pieces of paper. Can you pass it out for me? Can you pass it out for me? Make sure everybody gets two pieces of paper. And then you got to take them and you got to wad them up into a ball. This is what we do at youth group, guys. Oh, you are supposed to tell my secret. Okay, so Terry's got to come stand in the middle, though. Okay. So this is what happens in life. But Terry's got to stand in the middle. Okay, you guys get to have lots of fun, but this is the only time you can do this. So I'm teaching you guys naughty habits right now. So in life, Terry gets to be our example. God asks us. That's okay. Oh, here, you can have mine. Squash that one up into a ball. You have to have two balls. You guys all have two balls? That's okay. However you have it, whatever. So, God calls us to do something in our life. We step out and do it. If we do not have a wall of people around us that love us and believe in us, when negative things start coming our way, this is what happens. Okay, everybody, throw your paper at Terry. Okay, pause. You got pause? Okay, so in all seriousness, when God calls us to do something, or we feel that urge to do something, and there's no one around us to protect us, and then negative words start coming, we get torn down. Every word, every piece of paper that hits us tears us down and tells us, you're not good enough. Hold on, you guys do it again. Tells us, you're not good enough, you can't do this. Okay, you got to grab all the paper again. Now Terry has to stand up, and all the youth group come stand around them. You guys can't throw it yet. You got to grab the paper. Stand back. Hold on. Okay, everybody got paper? Everybody have balls? Do you have a paper? There you go. Throw that. Okay, now try and throw them at Terry, guys. What happened? Okay, kids, come over here. Okay. Come here. Can you? Why couldn't you throw anything at Terry the second time?
I actually did.
Okay. Did he have too many people around him? Did he have too many people around him the second time? You threw it over there? Did you throw it at your mom? Oh, you say that's okay. You can still have it. Can you have these gummies? Okay. Here, you have to take it to your mom first, okay? Here, can you? Here, Kaya, you get to be in one. Sorry. Okay, so the thing is, if we do not allow people to be in our lives that are positive influences, that encourage us and build us up, then what's going to happen is when God speaks to us, we're going to be torn down. If we don't stand around Terry and Jennifer and his kids, when God speaks to them and says, hey, Terry, take the church this direction, we don't stand around them and protect them, then we're going to all fall as a family together. We're going to fall. It doesn't mean you always understand what God is doing or what God is speaking. It doesn't mean it's always done clean and clear and precise, but it means that we start allowing each other the room for errors. We start allowing each other to step out in faith, believing that God will do more than we could ever imagine. I love our leadership. I know they don't do everything well, but I want to stand for them. They don't do everything perfect. That's what I meant, I guess. I don't know. Sorry, they don't do everything perfect. Because they're humans. We all screw up. And I know there's been questions. But our job... Oh, there is a binky on the floor. But our job as members of this family is to stand and to stop the negative words. Our job is to start... Our job is to start speaking life into our leadership. How can we stand up and encourage our leadership? How can we stand up and say, good job, I appreciate that. Way to go. I'm so glad that you guys are willing to listen to God. I'm so glad you dedicate so many hours to pray and to meet and to minister. How can we stand up and start speaking life? And then how can we stop the negative talk? Why don't we quit listening? Why don't we quit feeding into things? And this goes in every one of our personal lives. This is what we've been instilling in the kids time and time again. Gossip is such an issue in high school. And this week, whew, if you knew what happened this week, this would be like the perfect example, but we're not even going there. This week, it's like gossip has eaten alive students in our youth ministry. And we have had to come alongside them and try to be those walls to speak life into the students once they've been torn down. And all it takes is for us to start learning what it is to stop the negative talk and start speaking the life. And we have to protect one another from it. You know, it's not, if Zoe hears something negative against Taylor, Zoe doesn't need to go tell Taylor what happened. Zoe needs to stand and say, no, that's not true. I love Taylor, and she's working. She's trying to follow the direction that God has given her. She's trying to step out in faith, and I stand with her. You know, instead of feeding into that gossip that always seems to come, instead of feeding into that negativity, because the reality is we're all human. We all screw up. And in youth group, we want the kids to step out in what God has given them and to start experimenting and doing new things. We want them to start learning what it is to listen to God. And they need to know that they have a body of people around them to speak life into them and also to really pour maybe financially into them, maybe prayerfully into them, maybe encouragement letters into them. They need to know that when God calls them to jump, they're jumping and you guys are right alongside with them. So, let's have all the Lead the Cause students and Zoe come on up. So this is where God is leading several of the students. And the only way they can do this is, come up on stage. The only way they can walk forth in what God is calling them is if they have a body of people that stand around them and believe that God calls us to do the impossible and that we're willing to stand and be their wall. Because everybody else who does not serve the Lord or does not understand his ways will tell them that these dreams are impossible. And if you know me at all, my philosophy is dream big and God will always do bigger. Nehemiah dreams big. He dreams that God called him to lead the building of the wall. The wall was built, and it led the Israelites back into relationship with God. One man chose to listen to God. And as he stood, a whole nation followed God. And that's the same thing here. So, gives me goosebumps to see him. These are the students that are desiring to go to Lead the Cause and Africa. So, Lead the Cause is a week-long training that Dare to Share puts together that challenges students to go even deeper. It says, we've taught you how to do evangelism. We've taught you how to share your faith. Now let me teach you how to be a leader in your youth group, in your schools. Let me teach you the tools that you need in order to take the gospel message to your friends in a way that they could understand it. Their whole philosophy is it's not okay to sit in the pew any longer. You're called to get up and go to action. So the key is it's $500 a ticket. It's very expensive. I actually was sponsored and able to go down there 2 years ago. It is worth every penny. It teaches unity. It helps the kids learn how to listen to God, how to plant visions and how to have visions for their school, to reach out to their school. The ministry, the Dare to Share conference we went to, they don't even cover the cost with the ticket price that we pay. We pay $40 for our tickets, and it costs at least $66 per student to attend. And the ministry just absorbs the cost. They look for other funds, other opportunities to fund it through. Their desire is really to push kids out into ministry, into what God is calling them. So that's why this is important to me, because our high school, the only way it'll be changed is if these teenagers take the message in. If they share with their friends, this is what it is to know Christ. This is what it is to know the hope. Because the suicide rate in this community is ridiculous. And they can change it. So I have a couple people who are just going to share for a moment why they want to go. We'll start with Taylor, actually. Taylor, for those of you who went to the women's conference, she had an opportunity to play bass. She normally plays, but she's hurt her wrist. And so, Taylor, can you just tell us why you want to go to Lead the Cause University?
I want to go to Lead the Cause because since Dare to Share and the women's conference, I've had this overwhelming feeling, and I'm hoping that this week-long session will help help me bring more people to God and teach them to spread the word.
And then Kendra. And those of you who don't know, Kendra has been back here drawing for us, actually. And she, she did finish it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, she also goes to Cream Ridge Church, Cream Ridge Brethren of, what is it called?
Cream Ridge United Brethren in Christ.
There you go. So why don't you share?
So last year I really, really wanted to go to lead the cause, but we didn't have an opportunity as a youth group to go, and I was really bummed. But this year, Heather's like, hey, we're going this year. Yes! So this month, past month, I've been going to school and seeing so much hurting and so much pain, and I've quite frankly had enough. I am tired going to school and seeing all this anguish and seeing people commit suicide. And I had one of my friends tell me that she was done. And I'm like, just hold on. I'll be there this weekend. And she's like, okay. So I came over there and we sat there and cried for about 3 hours. And she's still here. So, sorry. I decided that this is something I wanted to do. So I stood up at my church of about 50 people, and I said, guys, this is something I need to do. And over the course of 3 Sundays, I have all 500 plus 20. So, but this is big, and this is something the community needs, and I feel like we really need to lift up our community in both prayer and love, and we will see a change. Okie dokie. So Heather's really good at this. She's like, hey, Kendra, guess what? Youth Sunday, you're drawing. I'm like, So I'm like, can I paint? And she's like, okay. So this past week has been a struggle for me, and I've been praying hardcore. I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to paint? What do you want me to do? And I really feel like he's saying, Kendra, don't give up just yet. I'm not done with you. And this week, I hadn't had a suicidal thought for 3 years. And this week, I did. And it scared me. And I'm like, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own anymore. And so he gave me this picture, and he's like, Kendra, you see that hand that's holding hope. And if you ever let go of it, you just tell me and I'll give you more. I was praying this week, and one of my girlfriends came up to me and she said, Kendra, how are you so strong? And I started laughing. She's like, how are you always there for everyone, even though they're never there for you? I said, look, I'm always there for people because God's always there for me. And if he wasn't there for me, screw you. I have my own problems. And a lot of them. But because God's there, and because God loves me, and because I love God, I can love others. And because I love others, others love me.
Not only that, but we also have Zoe, who is going to Africa. Many of you have heard. Many of you guys have heard a little bit about what she's going to do or where she's going. But God has really been at work in her life. The past couple weeks have been pretty incredible for her. Not only is she going to Africa. Can I spoil your news about school? But she will be going to Moody in Spokane, which is awesome because it means we get to keep her a little bit close, not send her quite so far away. She is looking at going into missions, so that's what she'll be studying. But also, she submitted a video for an opportunity through Dare to Share to be a part of a curriculum that they are creating, where they basically take a random group of teenagers, and throughout a week they film conversations about evangelism, what is it to evangelize, what have you learned, how could you help others. They've never done it. Well, they've done a couple similar, but with people who have not been Christians, and they've had conversations about who is God with just these complete opposite people. This time they're doing it on how to train youth to share the gospel message with their friends. So Zoe entered a video, and she will be going down to Denver in June to be a part of this curriculum that will be released nationwide.
It's like show and tell.
If you don't know already, it's time for you to know. I'm going to Africa. Surprise. But I want to tell you a little bit more about the actual mission I'm going on, because I feel like none of you know. My mom has a friend in high school, and they started talking over Facebook, and he's the head of this group in Uganda, Africa, and he takes down a group every year, and he has set up refugee camps in Uganda. He has two settlements, one in northern Uganda and one in southern Uganda. I will be going down into the southern Uganda, and they're for trauma counseling programs because Uganda is wrecked with civil war wounds and everything, and people have come and helped with food and health and building houses and stuff, but no one was really focusing on emotional wounds, and this is what that program does. So I'll be going down there and for 2 weeks in July and helping him and his family with these trauma counseling and just basically loving on the people. His family, he moved to Africa with his two daughters when they were 4 and 8, and then he adopted a Ugandan girl who was 14 and pregnant, and so they have a grandson now. And if you want to see this, this will be by the door back there, and I will be out in the hallway if you want ask me more questions or take a closer look. I also wanted to update you guys on my financial price of the mission. We estimated it was about $3,400 to go on the mission total, including the plane tickets or whatever. And right now I have $3,000, and I only have $400 more dollars to go. And that's all because of you guys. And because I've only done one fundraiser, and that was the car wash, and everything else has been donated and given to me. So thank you so much to every one of you for supporting me, whether you gave me money or not. Just prayers is awesome. So I think that's it. Ask me questions or go to tutupona.com, and they have videos there about the actual program and everything.
I wanted you guys to see all the students because as you guys pray, I want you to be able to bring them to your mind and to pray for them. Because for these students to look at $500 to raise for something that will completely change their life and allow them to know God in a different way and to minister God's love in a different way, that's a huge price tag for a teenager. It's a huge price tag for Tony and I right now. But we know that when God calls one person, that's not the only person receiving the call. The whole body receives the call to either send that person or support that person. When I went to the Dominican Republic as a missionary for 3 years, the only reason I could stay there wasn't because God just called me, but it was because God brought an army around me to pray for me and to financially support me. And it allowed me to do incredible things over there. And that's the same thing with these students. These are just students that we get an opportunity to pour our lives into. But we either decide whether we're going to build a wall around each of them in prayer and financial support and speaking encouragement, or we decide whether the world gets to tear them down and rip them away from God's grasp. Because it is about us living as a body together. It's not about us as individuals any longer. We've got to get that concept out of our mind. It's not about one, but it's about all of us. And we all get that opportunity to be the person in the middle who has a wall around them, and you all get the opportunity to be the wall around somebody else. It's that whole umbilical cord thing that we talked about a long time ago. It's all interconnected. We all are a stone in somebody's wall, and we all have stones around us. So are we going to pour into people's lives, or are we going to allow other things to tear them down? Because when we're absent in one another's lives, those negative words speak volumes. The other dream that we have is we now have dates, and we will be going to the Dominican Republic June 2016 for 2 weeks, for a week and a half. And that is anybody is welcome missions trip. We'll be attending the old church that I worked with as well as, well, both of the churches that I worked with over in the Dominican Republic. Been working out with times with the missionaries. It will be no more than $2,000. Hopefully it will be less. But this is an opportunity to go see what God is doing elsewhere. See what you guys have already poured into. These are ministries that you guys have already financially given to and have prayerfully given to. And I know that looking at your family, you may have, you know, three or four people in your family, and you may go, well, maybe one can go. But what if your whole family goes? What if the whole Guger family goes? What if they go as a family to experience what it is to serve God on the missions field? Well, that's a huge price tag for them. Can God do it? Yeah, I think he can. I think he can. And I think it's an opportunity to see what God is doing elsewhere. I think it's incredible for Zoe to go to Africa. But it's only been possible because you guys have stood around her. And so I love that we can stand around each other. And I think we need to get better at it. I think we need to build stronger walls. But I love that we're learning to stand around each other. So in closing, we actually have Kaya, who is going to come and do a special with part of the worship team. See, another opportunity to encourage her. She's a young girl who is stepping out and desiring to use her giftings to serve and to honor God. And these things, we need to pour into them. So I just challenge you guys, during this song, ask God, God, am I being the wall that you've called me to be? Do I need to step it up in an area and start protecting somebody better? Do I need to ask forgiveness because I failed at being the wall that somebody needed? Do I need to restore relationship with somebody? But how can we start to be the body that God has called us to be? The Bible says that they will know you by your love. Does the world know us by our love? And there's tons of verses that you can go to in the Bible that talks about us being united together. But Romans 1:12 says, this is from Paul, and it says, let's see. For I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you. That is, that we may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. And Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you shall see the day drawing near. Father God, we just thank you that you call us to encourage and to support and to see that little seed that you're starting in our hearts to grow. God, I pray that we will learn what it is to build a wall of protection around your family, God, around your children. God, would we step out in faith for one another? God, would we believe in faith that you are using and calling each of us to do amazing things, God? And would we learn to support that even though we don't understand it, even though it doesn't always make sense? God, would you use us to support one another? God, that truly this community would know us by our love. God, that we would be different and marked by your love. Thank you so much. Amen.